touching the ground. I'm on a hunt, I'm after you.
It just wouldn't be appropriate without you singing.
Well, you do it to me, girl. And you know, we're so of that same era.
We're such Gen Xers.
Yeah, we are. And I'm a little earlier in the 80s, so I was like moving and shaking to Duran Duran like nobody's business. I mean, I was rocking the freaking headbands. I had the shoulder pads.
You know what I used to do?
Yes.
Here's how lame I was for like a day or two or something. I wore that stupid bandana around my leg like Chachi. Freaking Chachi, who Scott Baio blocked me on Twitter, by the way, because I bugged the shit out of him.
And his wife too, didn't she?
Yeah, I don't know if she blocked me, but I know he did.
But well, screw Chachi, that guy. I mean, who? The bandana, though, for me, I used to roll the bandana up, and instead of put it on as a headband, I would take it and put it around my neck, like with a V-neck sweater and like a white T-shirt underneath. That was my look with some 501s.
Some 501s. Well, okay.
That I
want to
bleach shit.
Before we get, you know what I want to save the what you want to talk about, and I've just got a couple of quick things, and I think that what you want to get into is going to be a little more involved. So before we get into that,
no tears though. I'm not crying this time.
Okay, we'll see. but feel free to cry. First of all, last night, you know, I was bitching on Twitter that I was pissed off because it wasn't snowing and it wasn't cold enough for me. So it snowed over the weekend. And last night I went to my brother's house, because my sister-in-law's mother it was her birthday and she lives in Brazil and she was going back to Brazil, blah, blah, blah. So I find a parking space and I get out of the car and what do I fucking do? I slip and fall on the ice and I hit my hip, my ass part of my, you know, like my ass hip. And I guess I caught myself with my left hand. So my wrist is a little sore today. It's not terrible. But so I fell and that just scares me because I think of my mother because, you know, I know she's careful. And when I told her I fell, she's freaking out and she's so worried, you know, driving on the black ice and all this stuff. And I'm like, don't worry, Mom, I'll be fine. But so there was that. And then last week, oh, my God, my little kitty Miranda, who's going to be 15 in March, had dental surgery. She had 3 teeth extracted. And so I was so completely freaked out about that, mainly because she's so neurotic. She's just a little neurotic kitty. She's very, very, very sweet. But, you know, Bob and I had taken a trip in November to Florida. And when we came home,
she wouldn't speak to you.
Yeah, well, the problem, she was speaking to us, but it was in the middle of the night and waking us up. And, you know, and she's gets concerned. And so, you know, if I'm not in the room she thinks I need to be in, she gets concerned. So I was really worried that, you know, this would freak her out so much. I wasn't so much worried about, you know, the dental surgery. I just worried that she would completely freak out. But in the end, they gave her, because she's not easy to give medication to, so they gave her 3 days worth, or I should say like a shot, which would last 3 days for pain. And they gave her the shot for antibiotics. And so literally for the first 3 days, she was, especially the first night, it was so funny. She would just like sit still somewhere on the floor and kind of like, and stare. And, you know, and then she'd move to another part of the floor and sit and stare. But she's eating a lot now. And I'm guessing that maybe this, she had some kind of infection in her gums or whatever, an infected tooth. And so I think that was maybe hurting her. And now she's just like pigging out. She's just eating so much food. And I have to be careful so she doesn't get fat,
but
though.
She's all better.
She's already a little bit of a chubby. So
I call her
Chubbs. I already call her Chubbs. So she can stay chubby, but I don't want her to get too heavy. But I'm glad to know that she's doing better. And and then the other thing, before we get into what you want to talk about, I wanted to ask you what you think of this, because Gillibrand announced her candidacy last night. Uh-huh. And where is it? Of course, I don't have it. It was RVA Wonk, Caroline, somebody or other.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, so she was basically saying that we should not, and I'm going to get to this in a second because I thought I had already put it up, but she said, if you think, you know, oh, of course, my computer's freezing. Of course, that's what's happening. If basically she's saying we shouldn't be holding what Christian Gillibrand did to Al Franken against her. And the whole reasoning is that, first of all, evidently there was rumors that Chuck Schumer had asked him to leave, and that in the long and short, that women get punished when men are the ones who do bad things. And so I want to see what your opinion is, but my opinion on this is I always see both sides to the story. And in this particular case, I think Carolyn said that there was like credible accusations, and I have an issue with the credible part, because and I really try to say, what if this were a Republican? What if this same, you know, then, okay, if this were a Republican, I would have to take into account that he used to be a comedian, and that, you know, there were rumors of the idea, and I don't know if this was true, but that photo where, you know, Franken has that look on his face and he's going to grab her boobs, that she was in on it. And this was a comedy show that was happening. So they were all in the, you know, understanding that it was comedy. And then it was, I think Roger Stone had announced, you know, oh, something's going to happen with Franken or something like that tomorrow. So he knew. And I guess she's a conservative, the woman who put forth those allegations.
So Leanne Tweeden.
Yes. So the way I look at Franken is, I'm not going to automatically assume he's innocent or guilty. I'm going to take what the woman said seriously. I'm going to take into account that he was a comedian, take into account that Roger Stone knew something, and say, okay, let's have an investigation.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I thought that, you know, I didn't like that Gillibrand went immediately, and it's not attacking her, but it's just, I don't like she went for immediate resignation. I do understand that, you know, he decided to step down because I think it would have been so messy if there was an investigation. And I think Franken probably just decided, I don't want to be the story. I don't want to take anything away from anything. I'm going to step down now. And then, you know, maybe he'll run again. Maybe he'll run for something else. But I don't want to attack Christian Gillibrand for what she did or said. But I also don't think he should have been asked to step down. I think he should have been able to decide if he wanted to do that himself. But it should have been up to Congress to start an investigation. So that's where I stand. Where do you stand?
I agree. I don't feel like there was due process. I was talking to somebody about it on the street the other day, and I said due diligence. But And here's the part. I'm pissed off at Al Franken for just acquiescing and walking away. But the part that upsets me most about Gillibrand is that there wasn't an investigation. She got real loud about it right out of the gate. And then it was at a time when we're already so weakened as Democrats and as a party, given that, you know, the Republicans controlled all three branches of government at that time. It seemed overly aggressive, and without an investigation, it bummed me out.
Yeah. Well, like with him, I do get, you know, it's disappointing that he would step down. But again, I think that it would have also created all kinds of news. It would have probably gotten very ugly. And so I think he might have just decided, even though he was so, you know, so important. I don't know. I think he just thought, for the benefit of the country, I'm just going to keep us out of, you know, this big mess, because he can run. He can run again.
I think that's weak. I think we need somebody who's willing to fight for our democracy and fight for what's right. And so this makes me wonder. And I don't know either way, because no investigation was done.
Yeah.
Some half-cocked, Fox News crony chick who was obviously in cahoots with Roger Stone came out and started this whole thing rolling. I don't know.
Right.
There was no investigation. Gillibrand came out and said he must resign, and he freaking resigned.
Yeah.
Like, where is the unity? Where is the due process? Where is the due diligence? You know what I mean? Like, I want elected officials who are going to fight for our democracy and fight for the Democratic Party That's what we elected them for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I understand.
I hate the way the whole thing was handled. I think, but I don't want Gillibrand to get the nomination, in part because of that. So there you have it.
I don't know that she will. I think there are other stronger contenders. And again, I mean, I'm not against her. I wasn't happy. When she did it as quickly as she did. And again, I don't look at it as attacking her. I mean, I think that, you know, there is definitely sexism in politics and in life and all of that. I don't necessarily and the point that RVA Wonk Caroline, I think, Orr was making, you know, was that men do all this terrible shit and women are the ones who always pay the price. And she's absolutely right about that. She is. But in this particular case, I mean, I wrote in the book, American Woman, the Pole Dance, I tried to really talk about, you know, being fair about sexism, because I don't think everything is sexism. I think sometimes there are just assholes, and, you know, just because you're an asshole doesn't mean you're a sexist. And, you know, I think we can't be too crazy about, you know, always taking sides and all of that. But in the case of Kristen Gillibrand, I just felt that, again, it was a little too quick. I would have liked the investigation. I always see that both sides thing. And so it's like, I get why he stepped down, but I also get what you're saying. He should have stayed and fought for that. But it was in the middle of Me Too. And I think that it's a scary proposition. You know, let's just say that he's not guilty. Let's just say that he knows he's not guilty. I think he might have just thought, you know, geez, this is going to be so ugly and so awful. And I just don't want to put anybody through this. I mean, I could totally see him thinking that. But again,
I see your point. If you're not guilty, stand up and fight for what's right.
Yeah.
I mean, please.
Well, evidently, and they said it was rumored that Schumer asked him to step down too. So I don't, know what kind of private discussions that they had.
It's a shitty thing that happened. I'm sad. I really liked Al Franken as a senator. Mm-hmm. He was a force to be reckoned with in the Senate, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks. But that being said, if he was that person who was being accused of sexual misconduct, then I don't want him anywhere near making laws for this country. You know, so I mean, it's just an ugly, unfortunate. It's way too mild. Right. If he's innocent and he walked away, it sucks. If he's guilty and Gillibrand's getting the heat for calling for his resignation now, then that sucks. But either way, I think there are better candidates than Gillibrand. if we're being honest.
Yeah. So do I.
So.
Okay. Anyway. So why don't you talk about the people of color? And Julian Castro.
Okay, so here's the thing. You know, we've talked about this before. I spent my entire childhood from like my tween years when I started realizing that, I have a Spanish surname. I'm of Mexican descent. And some people want to call me names because of that. Mm-hmm. Or some people don't want to ask me to the prom because of that. And that was tough to take as a kid, you know, because you don't really have... Or at least I didn't. There was so much shame around it, which is really a shitty thing for a person to feel. And because you can't change the color of your skin, you can't pick another ethnicity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I felt compelled at times to hide my Mexican heritage or to justify, I'm only a quarter Mexican on my dad's side, and really I'm mostly Italian, and I actually have more Spanish. Like, I actually tried to sort it out verbally with people to say, I'm only this much, so I'm really not as dirty as you're saying I am. Because dirty Mexican, beaner, I mean, these are things that... I heard that all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where, you know, you can have the comfort of your parents, but that's not enough, because you still got to get up and go to school and look at that kid that said it to you the day before, you know? And so it took me some time to sort of be really proud of who, you know, unequivocally proud. And I had a darling boyfriend and wonderful friends in high school. And people who would like beg for my grandma's tamales at Christmas time and say, God, I wish I had, you know, flavor like that in my family. I would love it if I could go to, you know, family gatherings where, you know, you've got a zillion cousins and, you know, people from all over the place sitting around the table, you know, chowing down on whatever. And so I learned to love it, embrace it. I learned how to speak Spanish. I learned how to, you know, be really proud, become an activist to advocate for people of color, and to really be proud of who I am. And so that's me now, right? Mm-hmm. And that's been who I have, you know, I became that person openly and proudly in my college years, for sure, you know? And so for me, when Trump was running and then elected, and I told you, and we talked about this on the podcast before, when my then 11 and a half year old son looked at me after listening to Trump call, Mexicans rapists and drug addicts and saying he was going to deport, that his first order of business was going to be to deport them all when he took office. And my child looked at me and said, Mom, are we going to be deported? I mean, wow. That's the reality of what it's like to be a person of color in the United States under this regime. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for me, I feel like there are incredibly talented people of color who are throwing their hat into the ring. And I think that when Kamala Harris speaks up and is elected United States Senator and knows her shit like a pro and like the boss that she is, that's good for all people of color to see that, right? And so I as I said in the show earlier with Scott Dworkin, I saw her speak on Saturday night, and I saw a beautiful, and I'm talking inside, like the spirit of the most beautiful human being, a woman who was born to two people of color, Indian mother, and Black father, in Oakland, California, whoop, shout out to the hometown, you know, raised by a single mom and taught, you know, this is not, life ain't easy. You got to work for what you want and for what you, you know, you got to be willing to put in the effort to get, you know, anything out of this life, because you got a couple of strikes against you just coming out of the gate, you know? And so here she is. And then on that very same day, Saturday, Julian Castro, who I have admired from afar for years, when I caught wind of these identical twin brothers raised by a single mother, you know, first generation Mexican mother in Texas, she's an activist. She raised these two amazing men who went to Stanford undergraduate and then to Harvard Law. And Julian became the mayor of San Antonio and then later the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. The same job Ben Carson now has, just to give you some perspective. And then he's got this amazing brother, Joaquin, who is the congressman from that district in San Antonio.
And Joaquin, just FYI, showed up to the ERA hearing last fall or last May. So anyway, there's that.
Yeah. they're the real deal, these guys. And these are Mexican Americans. Their father's a Cuban dissident, but they're Latinos who get to say to other Latinos in this country, Latinos who have been disparaged, who have been forced to stay in the shadows, many of them, because it's better to just be quiet than to make yourself known and to cause a stir, because who knows if you're going to have your citizenship taken away. Mm-hmm. Or who knows, you know, those who are not here legally, are, you know, who maybe have children who were born here, who, you know, dreamers. This is a real dilemma for people of Latino heritage, right? Yeah. And I want those people to come out and be proud of who they are. And I said I wasn't going to cry. And to be proud of who they are. And when you see somebody like a Julian Castro or a Joaquin Castro, who came from pretty much not a lot and are where they are now, it gives you a sense of pride, and it gives you just sort of, it kind of raises you up.
Yeah.
And we're not dirty. We're not rapists. We're not criminals. We are participating members of this American society who make this country so much better. Mm-hmm. And I am just sick to death of that, you know, those feelings of shame that I talked about, they come back up. But now it's like, shame, fuck that shit. Yeah. I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight and I'm going to run for office. And I'm going to show people in my community that I'm not just a woman of color with a big mouth, but I'm a person who actually cares about my community and wants to get things done and make it better. Yeah. It just so happens that I am a brown lady who grew up, I grew up with so much more privilege than so many more of these people have. And I want, if there's any way that, you know, Julian and Joaquin and any number of other elected officials, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Kamala Harris's, the Ted Lieu's of the world, like, you know, we're Americans. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing at some point that where we should be judged as Americans. But we still have so much work to do. And we've taken many, many steps backwards since this racist criminal has been elected and has been in office. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say because it's on my mind, Kimberly, and it's something that, like, it's kind of my life's purpose right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to add to that, that when I used to live in Southern California, I moved to Northern California in 2009, and I believe it was around 2003-ish, 2002, 2003. I used to work as a fragrance model, selling perfume, and I would basically just work for the perfume company, and then I would go into individual stores like Macy's or whatever, and I would work for 4 or 5 hours, and I would sell that perfume and then leave. So I didn't work for the department store, but I worked at the department store. Anyway, so I was working at this one store, the last one that I worked with before I just left that industry altogether, and met one of my best friends, Lourdes. And, you know, Lourdes is Mexican, and she had, at the time when I met her, she was married. Eventually, she wound up getting divorced, and she had, she had 4 kids with this guy that she married and 1 child with someone prior, and that 1 child was grown up. So when I met her, her kids were basically teenagers down to like the age of her youngest kid, I think at that point was maybe 7. And so we started hanging out, and then she has a brother who also had 4 kids. So there were a total of basically 8 kids, and Lourdes and her brother, and we would all hang out all the time, and we would go to swap meets, and she had other brothers and sisters. And so occasionally we would go to the brother's house, and her brother was a great cook. And I always called them my Mexican family. And I always, mm-hmm. you know, thought that living in Southern California really gave me a great appreciation for Mexican culture. I mean, there's Alvaro Street, and, you know, I mean, aside from that, I mean, everything, you know, so much influence. There's so much influence from Mexico, so many Mexicans. And I really grew to appreciate that culture and embraced it and loved it. And, you know, being, and my friend Lourdes didn't have a lot of money, and her brother especially, they lived in a house, the house that they were brought up in. And I can't remember the neighborhood. It's primarily Mexicans who live in the neighborhood. So it's a pretty tight Mexican community. But, you know, again, it was a small little house, a humble little home. But, you know, there was warmth and love there. And I loved going over there. And I just, you know, I mean, it was something that I remember when Trump said what he said. I mean, I immediately thought of them. And it made me so angry. And then the other thing that I just want to add, and it makes me sad, is that my girlfriend Lourdes would always say, I'm not Mexican, I'm white. I'm white, I'm white, I'm white. And I kept saying, no, you're Mexican, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it made me feel bad that, you know, she wanted to downplay that or wanted to say that I'm not Mexican. I mean, obviously she was, and if you looked at her, she had brown skin and black hair, and she didn't look white. She, you know, she would never be confused as white. But I just felt sad that at that time, you know, prior to the whole Trump thing, I just thought, embrace who you are. It's beautiful. You know, you're beautiful. I mean, you know, I mean,
you're beautiful because let me tell you what, there are a lot of people that told her in so many ways that she wasn't.
Right.
It's tough to get over. I totally get where she's coming from. I never could say I was white because I was too dark.
Yeah. Well, she was dark, but she didn't care. I mean, she has a sense of humor, thank God. And she's the kind of woman, I appreciated her so much because she was just blunt and honest. I mean, I remember one day I had a terrible night and I had to go to work the next day, and I was no longer working fragrance. I was actually selling industrial chemicals, but I had an appointment and I had some time to kill. So I had stopped in to see her at the department store first. And I walked in, she goes, "Ugh, you look like shit." It was just, I did.
Nice.
I really did look like shit. But like, my feelings weren't hurt because she was always able. And you know, the funny thing is, she's a born again Christian and I am so not religious. And we were able to have conversations about God and never fight. You know, and I would say to her, I'm like, "You think I'm going to hell, and I know it." And she would laugh like, "Yeah, you are." I never got offended by her because she never tried to push it on me. Like, we would talk about God and we would talk about heaven, and I would tell her exactly what I thought, and she never got offended. She didn't agree with me and I didn't agree with her, but she was very straightforward, and it was so refreshing because so many times people just want to hide how they feel, and if they're pissed off at you, it comes out in little digs. That was just never the case with her. But again, it was just something that always made me feel sad. It's like, wow, I mean, your family's so beautiful. You're beautiful. And when I say beautiful, I mean outside and inside. I appreciated the color of her skin. I'm so white. I'm like Courtney Love white. And I, you know, in the summer, I spend so much time putting self-tanner on. I don't lay out in the sun anymore. But it's like, you know, I feel like, wow, how nice it is to just be tan all year round. Then you can always wear short sleeves and shorts without feeling, you know, in, you know, like, oh, my God, my legs are like glow in the dark. So, you know, I mean, it's like white people are always so trying to get darker. You know, we're always like laying out in the sun and all that.
But they hate us. They want to be brown like us, but they think we're dirty. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
no.
A lot of them, unfortunately, there are those stupid white people that do. But, you know,
it's not a chip on my shoulder anymore. It's now just it's a beautiful thing. And I celebrate the diversity. I mean, my husband and I live in Oakland for a reason. You know, this is what we wanted. This is what we wanted for our kids, was true diversity. And when, you know, they don't see color as anything other than, this is my friend and they are brown. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything other than, you know, friends are friends are friends. People are, sexual orientation is what it is. It's the greatest thing. You know, we're fortunate, but I would love, you know, we'll see what happens. I love that for the first time ever. Bill Richardson, wasn't he in one of the primaries a while back, the former governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson?
I think so, yeah.
And he's Mexican, if I'm not mistaken. But still, it's good. It's good because we are a nation of immigrants, and that's what makes us so freaking amazing.
I mean, that was the whole point of this country in the first place.
Exactly. And I know that probably sounds a little la-di-da.
No, it's true.
We are. It's beautiful. Anyhow, all right, girlfriend. Should we give the Willow Grove one more shout out?
Well, sure. Why not?
The Willow Grove.
Willowgrove.com. And that's was it SMU 2018?
SMU 2018 for 15% off. Go get some beauty.
And we can't wait for the interview with Molly. So that's coming out on the 30th. Mark your calendars. And I forgot to say this on the free show, which would have been better, but I started up a new Facebook page. I'll just say it next time. I finally just caved and started up a new Facebook page, and it's Kimberly A. Johnson. Yes, it's really me. The cover photo says "Pursuing the Vagenda of Manicide." So, if you're listening, go ahead and send me a friend request. I'm taking it from everybody. So, all right. Well, then this was a fun first show of the year, and hopefully there'll be. I'm hoping we can do some more shows every month as we move forward, but it won't be for a while. So I've got to learn how to do this myself, because I have a producer, Bob Seska, over here, does it all for me. So anyway, all right, well, we will see you next time.
I'll see you Saturday, girl.
Yes, oh yeah, we're going to the march. Woohoo! All right. Bye-bye.
Lipstick cherry.